This morning's Parsha Shiur is being sponsored in honor of the two DRS hockey coaches, Larry Gross and Mikey Davidman. You know, I told the boys in yeshiva, it's really absolutely unbelievable. So you could learn a lot from hockey coaches. You could learn a lot from sports b'chlal. But I say all the time, this year we went to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. They have there, you know, an exhibit about coaches. And by John Wooden, I think he's one of the most winningest coaches in college basketball history. So by his plaque, it said his one of his favorite quotes, a quote from Aristotle, that excellence is not an act, it's not a single individual act, it's a habit that is repeated time and time again. And I said a shiur a few weeks ago about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us to have consistency, to always be striving for excellence. We shouldn't have a power of attitude towards our Yiddishkeit and say, you know, it's okay to be mediocre, it's okay to be a mediocre Jew. My Rebbe told me that Rav Huttner told him, don't be a Benoni. Don't be a Benoni. Don't be somebody who's like, you know, a power of Jew. Yeah, I can kenzogen azoy, mekenzogen, I can do this, I can do that. Got to be a Jew who has, as a she'ifa, always has a drive for greatness. And the two hockey coaches have showed the kids what it means to have standards of excellence. It's incredible. In the last 16 championships, DRS has fielded a team in 14 out of 16 of them. It's absolutely unbelievable. Varsity and JV over the last 8 years. Unheard of. Because these guys, there's no compromise. This is you got to strive for excellence in everything that you do. So it's a lesson for Yiddishkeit. It's a big lesson for Yiddishkeit. Anyway, we have this chus, this Shabbos, of beginning to speak about the Heilige Korbanos, the holy sacrifices which we're praying, which we're davening every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to that time where we'll be able to slaughter animals in cold blood. And there'll be blood flowing throughout the Beis HaMikdash. It will have, every time you accidentally flick on a light on Shabbos, you have to buy for $1,000 a cow and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and slaughter it and shecht it in cold blood. But Rabbi said there's such holy, special ideals sprinkled in throughout all the parshios of the Korbanos. The Korbanos is really a very, very holy part of the Chumash that we sometimes, I think, feel a little bit disconnected from, but in so many ways, the service of Hashem through the Korbanos is something that we could learn about through our own daily service. And there's loads and loads and loads in the Kli Yakar here. I'm going to have to abridge. That's how much there is. I only got through the first, you know, 2-3 psukim, and there was already so much there. So, hang on. So, Vayikra El Moshe. So the parasha begins, Vayikra El Moshe, Aleph Shel Vayikra Ketano, Ki'ilu Nemar Vayikar. Right, the Aleph is Ketan because it's almost like it's not there. It is there, but it's not there. V'tamo Shel Davar, and listen to what the Kli Yakar says, the Pshat is the first lesson of the day, V'tamo Shel Davar, L'hashvus Nevuas Moshe El Nevuas Bilam, Shnemar Bo by Bilam, it says Lashon Vayikar. Hashem happened to appear to Bilam. Mikre. U'kamosha Amru, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kamosha, avol b'umos kam umanu Bilam. Ve'en ha'perishia Bilam shavu l'moshe b'nevua chalila. It doesn't mean Bilam and Moshe, but it's the same alakach perusho. Shemoshe hisig yoser mima shahaya roi lahasig al piha chanaso. Kamosha nema sheyida'o Hashem ha'she yodas Hashem l'namei l'amal l'cha shumitza l'chanaso lo yodas Hashem al zeh ofen ki im Hashem yida'o v'nasan lo tosfos shefa b'Yisrael. Ratzalomar bizchus Yisrael. So the Kli Yakar develops the idea that the small Aleph is coming to teach me. He's going to spell it out in a few seconds. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu more ruchnius, more nevuah, a higher madrega than he had himself prepared himself for. He gave more. Moshe Rabbeinu did the hishtadlus to prepare himself for X, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him more. Where do you see that in the small Aleph? He's going to explain. V'chol shah nevi Yisrael. Kol echel lo hesig yosem mechdei chumas av. V'umus ha'olam kam achel lechvod an shah Yisrael shehizig yosem ha'shay roi la'asag ha'piach anasa. V'hinei me ha'yadua shekol ma shahanovi masig es ha'roi lo al pi ha'chan aso. Osa nevua devuka bo be'etzem. So he says, the part of the prophecy that a Navi prepares himself for, and he did work to achieve through his own work, that prophecy becomes Devuka bo ba'etzem, atzamos kinyan davuk lo yipard menu. Aval kol ma shemasig yozim ichdeachan also, but whatever the Navi gets from Hashem, as it were, with a free gift, it's something more than he prepared himself for. Zeu etzlo b'mikra, v'lo b'etzem, v'rak matas elokimu. That's not part of his etzem neshama, his etzem guf. Rather, that's matas elokimu, that's a gift from Hashem. That comes to him like b'mikra, v'yiker. Al kein nemar loshen v'yiker b'moshe u'b'bilam, l'horos. Shall you shove him b'zeh? In what way were Moshe and Bilam equal? B'mesh ha'isa b'shneem ha'sagas Mikris nosaf al royal mitzarat musam. Both Moshe and Bilam merited a gift of prophecy from Hashem more than they had worked for, more than they had prepared themselves for, says the Kliyakar. Aside from what they had prepared, there was also Vayikar. Vayikar means there was Mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, sort of happened upon them and gave them stuff that they weren't prepared for. They weren't ready for it. But he gave it to them anyway. Now, it wasn't totally connected to them in the same way that the other stuff was. He gave them something above and beyond. And then he explains, okay, I'm going to skip the next paragraph. He has a little bit of a side point. V'yochanan, now he's going to explain, why is it that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam more than they bargained for, more than they asked for, more than they prepared for? V'yochalios, shezeu das ha-medrash, k'demasek b'yalkut b'pasek zeh, v'zeh l'shonu. Yochol v'tzorech atzmo dibra Hashem in Moshe. You might think that the only reason God spoke to Moshe was for Moshe himself. Talmud lomar, lemor. Right? Vayikra el Moshe, me'olmoed lemor. So what's the first word, lemor? So you might have thought that Hashem only spoke to Moshe for his own benefit. Talmud lomar, lemor. L'tzorech Yisrael dibra imo. He spoke to him for the sake of the Jewish people. V'lo l'tzorech atzmo. U'medr zem mechusa bir. This medrash is not understandable. How can a person think all the Hashem talking over all of the mitzvahs, everything was only for Moshe himself? It's ridiculous. What do you mean? Of course he spoke to him for the whole Jewish people. It says the Kli Yakar as follows, explaining this medrash. He was added on more Yosef Mechidei Achanaso, Moshe Rabbeinu received prophecy which was more than he prepared for. Shedibur Hashem Ito Panim El Panim Bizchus Yisrael V'lo Bavur Atzmo. That was in the merit of the Jewish people, not for himself. V'zeh Sh'amar Litzorach Yisrael Diber Imo Litzorakam Zacha Lohosaf Azu V'lo Litzorach Atzmo. This that the Medrash says, that it was Litzorach Yisrael, not for himself, it means he merited this additional level of nevuah, this additional level of siyata d'shmaya, this additional level of prophecy, not for his own benefit, but rather l'tzorech Yisrael. K'moshe nemar, v'lo kam navi bi Yisrael. K'moshe, right? Beis mishamesh es lashon bavur, for Yisrael. U'lefika k'shechatu Yisrael, nemar l'moshe. Therefore, when the Jewish people sinned, it was said to Moshe, lech reid migdulascha. You're going to lose a little bit of your ruchnius now. The Jewish people sinned, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to lose something. V'haynu mitosefet shefazesh anitin lo bavor Yisrael, in the merit of the Jewish people and for the Jewish people. V'achar ha-mechil hutzuch l'faresh shechaz ha-moshe l'kadmus ha-shnemar v'haydibar sh'moshe panim al-panim u'pirash zeh davar yakar. Right, the Kli Yakar every few pages says, I really like this pshat. Now what I learned from this pshat, even though it's not exactly directly in the words, this is point number one. Just stay by that word of Yaakov. We're going to get back to that in 1 second. But point number one over here is that a Jewish leader who sinks his koiches into the community, and doesn't have to be a rabbi, it could be somebody who, I don't know, runs Hatzalah, or somebody who is the president of the shul, or somebody who is in any position of leadership in the Jewish community, merits a siyata d'shmaya on behalf of the Jewish people, more than he puts it in, more than he prepares for. Because people who sink their kochos in, who give of themselves tirelessly, who don't care about their own kavod, and who sink their lives and energies into other Jews, not asking for anything in return, not asking for any money in return. So they might throw a certain amount of koiches in. They may put a certain amount. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the merit of the Jewish people who they're saving, not in their merit, in the merit of the Jewish people who they're leading, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives koiches way beyond. Vayiker. That's what the Kli Yarchi is saying in the word Vayiker. Vayiker means, the hint to Vayiker is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives what you weren't expecting. Mikra. If you sink your koiches in, if you dedicate your time and your effort and your energy in your life to helping Jews, to saving Jews, to leading Jews, to putting your koiches into other Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives siyat to the Shemai above and beyond. So this was something that you see in Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, he sort of hints at the fact that this was only by Moshe Rabbeinu and not by other Nevi'im. He says something like that. But perhaps we can suggest this is something that was special, an extra special madrega that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. But perhaps we can suggest that when a person is in it for Klal Yisrael, he's in it for the Jewish people, and he sinks his koiches in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mikra. That's lesson number one. Look at lesson number two. Uviyalkut. Look, we'll continue over here. Uviyalkut. And this is of course Uviyalkut Masik. Lama maschilin hatinokos lomon mipashas karbanos. Rabosai. For many, many years, and certainly in the times of the early Mishnah, the chinuch system was exactly the opposite of the chinuch system that we have today. Nowadays, the chinuch system is such that nobody learns Vayikra because it's so complicated and because it seems irrelevant to the kids. But for many years, the way the chinuch system was that everybody would start learning from Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is where the little children used to start learning from. I've said over the joke in this year, it's only half a joke, that I think the Gemara says that Shmuel Hanavi taught Eli when Chana bought Shmuel, he was age 2 or age 3 to the Beis Hamikdash the first time. So there was a question about whether Shechita was Ksheira Bizar. So whether a Shechita in Beis Hamikdash was okay with a non-Kohen. The little baby Shmuel, 3-year-old, corrected Eli, because Eli didn't want to allow the Tzar to shecht, and Shmuel, the 3-year-old, said to Eli, what do you mean, Shechita's Ksheir Bazar? So the addendum, the joke to the story is, you shouldn't think that that's such a big deal, because they used to start learning from Vayikra, and in the fifth pasuk of Vayikra, you already learned that Shechita's Ksheir Bazar. If you look at the psukim, right? The Samach Yado Arosha Olav, the Shachar is Ben Abakar, it's pasuk Hay from the parasha. So you shouldn't think it's so crazy that a 3-year-old knew that Shechita's Ksheir Bazar, because it's the fifth, that's what he just learned. He was 3 years old, he just learned it at the beginning. Because, right, the Gemara says, Yavo tahorim v'yisasku b'tahara. That the pure people should come to be misasik, and that the little children who don't know any bad, don't know, they're the ones they should start. The thing that they should start with is kabbalah. So there was a minute for a long time that they used to start. Uviyalkin masik. Lama maskilin atinokas lumum min parashas kabbalah. So I'm talking about very old, not like old, 100, 200 years. I'm talking, 1,000 years. So, Lama maskin de lama min parashas karbanos, mahar karbanos tahorim afatinokos kain. Vizemavur al derech shemasik biyalkut parashas pinchas kvasim bnei shana, shemechabsin avonos haadam vaosinoso kitinok ben shana. What karbanos do is they make you like a 1-year-old child, clean of sin, bringing a carbon and going through that experience of being makriv a carbon based on mitzvah, which is supposed to purify you like a little child. Bavur ze ha'alef kitana. Says the Kli Yarchi. This is an additional reason why the Aleph is small. Remez shehaktanim yaschilu kan. So it's a remez that the little children should start learning dafka vayikra. The Aleph is katan to show you, I want to focus on the small children. V'limudzehu barosh ke'alef rosh la'osios. This is the first lima that the child should do. The Aleph base for the kids should be karbanos. That's why the Aleph is small. Davar acher, Aleph, Lashon, Limud. We've seen this before. Kamo va'alfech chachma. Alpha means to learn. Means to learn, to teach. Aleph, Lashon, Limud. Kamo va'alfech chachma. Remez, she'ein halimud miskayim ki'im b'mi shemakten es atzma. That's already idea number 3. How many times have I repeated this? 1.5 million times. V'chein ramaz she'moshe zocha l'kriya zu. Why was Moshe merited to teach Klal Yisrael Lefi? Shehikten es atzmo. That's his third pshat. That's the most famous pshat that we all know. Shehikten es atzmo. Uvarach min asrara. He ran away from the officiousness. He ran away from the kavod. He ran away from the gedula. V'amar lo yish devar manochi k'demasik b'yalkut. So the second idea here. The second idea here is Yavo Tahorim Yisaska B'Torim. The Aleph is small to focus on the little children. So the message that I thought we could learn from this Kliyakar is a message that I've also spoken about before. After 8 years, there's only so much I'm going to be speaking about that's brand new every week. But the importance of keeping the education of the youngest children to be pure, that it should be pure. And the flip side is, when the tumah gets into the child when he's very young, it's so difficult to get that out of your head once it's very young. I think I told over the story that Rabbi Hartman, Meir Twersky from Yeshiva University, told me the story that Rabbi Hartman once was speaking to Mechlala. He's the one who wrote the Maharals. And all of a sudden, in the middle, he's in his 50s, Rabbi Hartman. He's a brilliant, brilliant genius, Talmud Chacham. And in the middle of his lecture to the girls in the Chlala, all of a sudden, he goes off on a 2-minute rant, which was a word for word repetition of Marv Albert announcing a nickname that he once heard when he was 7 years old on the radio. And he went through the whole thing, and he said word for word, this one passes to that one, shots go, and did the whole Marv Albert imitation for 2 minutes. He was in his 50s. So he was telling the girls, why did I do this for you? To tell you that, again, in his mind, this was the worst tumah ever, okay. But in his mind, he's a rav, he spends his time learning. He was trying to tell them that the shtus that gets in your head when you're 7, 8, 10 years old, you can't get it out of your head. You can't get it out of your head. So he was trying to encourage the girls, don't let it get in. Don't let it get in now, because whatever gets in, and we all know this, I think, to be true, and some of those things that you get in your head, visions, images that you shouldn't have seen, or things that sometimes very, very difficult to get them out of your head. Once they're in there, they don't go out. So that's a little bit about Yavo Tahorim Yisasku B'Torim. When a kid is young and impressionable, when someone is young and impressionable, you have to try to make sure that the education is as pure as possible. Because once the images of what's not pure get in there, you can't get out of it. And the younger the person, the more fertile the mind, the more deep the impression. The younger the person, the more deep the impression. So it's, right, maybe this week, right, I see over here, I alluded to the tremendous, the incredible God. I don't want this to be the focus of what I speak about Rav Scheinberg. If I have something to say about Rav Scheinberg, let's talk about somebody who was absolutely pure, and pure sweetness, and pure Torah, and pure chizuk. The famous... Anyone who doesn't know anything about Rav Scheinberg, and the most famous story about people who don't really know anything about Scheinberg, is that all they know about him is that when he would, the famous story they say about him is that when he would hear that the Yankees lost, and he was even in the 70s, 80s, 90s, when he would hear the Yankees lost, he would still give a krechts. That's what they say about him. Now, again, it's now not the time, I have too much else to say, not the time to go into the pros and cons of that story. But the one thing that you do see is this similar idea that, once something gets in your head, once you develop a habit when you're young, when he was young, he grew up in America, he was a Yankee fan. Again, to me, that shows Rav Scheinberg's greatness in the sense that he was an incredible Talmud Chacham, Masmid, was sweet, sweet, nice person, but he was also Me'orav v'Mabrios. He also knew people, he understood people. Some people have become Gedolei Torah, they shut themselves away in the ivory tower, they can't relate to people. Rav Scheinberg was not like that. In the last 20 years of his life, 30 years, he had his door open 3 to 6:30 in the afternoon. Anybody could walk into his house. Anybody walk into his house, talk to him, ask him. People from all walks of life did walk into his house. I took my kids there a few times. It was a very special experience. He would talk to them. He cared about the kids. He was not at all in the ivory tower. He was someone who related to people. I've said over many times, that's why after the Akedah, the Torah says, Hinei yoldam milcha gamhi banim lenocha rechicha. Avraham Avinu heard after the Akedah. What's that whole crazy story? There's 3 psukim after the Akedah. Oh, by the way, your child, your sister, or your aunt, your niece, whoever it was, gave birth. What's the term? Tell me. It shows that Avraham, even after an experience like the Akedah, he was able to go back to his family. He was able to go back to people and relate. Similarly, where it says Avraham was arguing with Hashem over stone. Avraham said, maybe you'll say, he sits there and he's talking to Hashem, negotiating with God himself. He's up there in the court of, you know, wherever he was in, talking to God. And then afterwards it says, V'Avraham Shav Limkomo. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once spoke here about 7-8 years ago, and he spoke about this. V'Avraham Shav Limkomo. The mark of a real great Gadol is someone who's able to sit there and talk to Rav Aaron. V'Avraham Shav Limkomo. He went back to his house. He went back to his place. Why does the Torah say V'Avraham Shav Limkomo? What's the significance? So Rav Aaron said that a great Gadol is someone who, even if after he's in the highest spheres and he's learning the heart, he could then the next day walk to a regular person and still talk to a regular person, still interact, and still have respect for a regular person. To me, that's what the Yankees, the famous Yankee stories, mean about Rav Sharma. He didn't totally disconnect himself from the world, that he didn't understand people. He still had that connection to people. And finally, number three, which I've spoken about so many times, about how important humility is in every area of life. That was the third thing said by the Olive Zaire. That's, of course, what everyone says, about how important it is. And the same thing, the same idea. And that's, I believe, why somebody like Rav Scheinberg was so unbelievably successful, so universally adored and revered and beloved in so many circles, because he was so sweet. I remember one time we arranged Rabbi Ginsburg here in the neighborhood. He's a rabbi in the neighborhood. He's very, very close to Rav Scheinberg. He's very close to a lot of Gedolim. Very, very close to Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg was the Mashkiach in Chavetz Chaim for 25 years in America, from like 1935 to 1960. Roughly, maybe it's something like that, 1935 to 1960 is the Mashkiach of Chafetz Chaim, for 25 years here. And so Rav Ginsburg's father was very involved, also passed away, unfortunately, a few months ago, untimely passing. Whenever Rav Scheinberg was in America, he used to always stay by Rav Ginsburg's house. So Rav Ginsburg's only been in the neighborhood here, I don't know how many years, 8 years, something like that, 8-9 years he's been a rabbi here. It's right across the street from my house, so it's, you know, very convenient minion. So I dive in there from time to time. And so I have a relationship with Rav Ginsburg, so when Rav Sharma was at his house, so I was able to arrange that a private, you know, little meeting on Motzei Shabbos for about 10 DRS Rebbes, special DRS Rebbes meeting. I can't tell you how inspiring and how mechazek us he was that night. And he was so down to earth. He was so real. He says, you guys, I know what you deal with in the classroom every day. I know what you have to deal with. I know you get frustrated all the time because the kids don't listen and the kids aren't achieving what you want them to achieve, and you get burnt out and you say, what am I doing? And I'm trying every day and it's not going. He gave us such chizkus. You guys should be so happy. You should be so excited about the fact that you have the schus to study Hashem's Torah and to teach Hashem's Torah. You have been doing the most important job in all of the world. He was mechazik. He says, you have to be besimcha. You can't get down. You don't realize you're doing the greatest. It was mamish for like 40 minutes straight, just being mechazik us, just lifting us up, just telling us how great what we're doing is. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. But that's because, A, he understood people, he understood the world. He wasn't one of these starke, you know, he was the sweetest, finest, special person. And also, he would be able to lower himself and humble himself to talk to people like us. He talked to regular people. He knew what was going on in the world. And he understood, you know, Talmidim, that not everybody was yet at his level. That's 1, 2, and 3. Let's continue.
Wait,
Adam.
Just one question.
Sure.
You said before about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able to get it because he was for Klal Yisrael, but for Bilam. You can say what?
So I think Bilam, in other words, good question, but I think that what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to only, you know, Bilam he also gave. Was it for the merit of them? Was it for the merit of them? For the merit of the Goyim? That the Goyim should also have somebody. They should also have somebody to help them. So I think he said, in that prat, Bilam and Moshe were the same. That Hashem also gave Bilam extra than he bargained for the sake of leading the people that he had to lead. I think so. Interesting. I didn't focus on it. Great point. Okay. Adam Kiyakir, Pasuk Beis. And then we're finally up to Pasuk Beis. Adam Kiyakir Mikem Karban Lashem. Wow, what an incredible Pasuk. It's totally laden with meaning. Adam, first the word Adam, right? Usually the Torah will say Ish. What's the significance of Adam? So a lot of the Mefarshim say this is harping back to Adam Arishon. Let's see what he says. Adam ki yakriv mikem. First look at the Pasuk, but look at the Pasuk inside for a second. Adam, the Pasuk starts off in the singular. Adam ki yakriv. Yakriv is in the single, not yakrivu. Adam ki yakriv mikem, from you korba Hashem. If you'll be makriv a korban to Hashem, min ha-behema min ha-bakor min ha-tzon takrivis korbanchem. Takrivu, in the plural, as korbanchem, your korban, in the plural, your korban. First is korban Hashem, then is your korban. Let's see what the Kli Yakar say here. His chil b'lashin yachid v'siyim b'lashin rabim, the famous kasha that everybody and their grandmother asks. His chil b'lashin yachid v'siyim b'lashin rabim takrivu korbanchem. Umad shepiresh Rashi. Doesn't like Rashi's shot. Third line. Listen to this beautiful idea. He wanted to warn anyone who's being makir of a carbon, and I'd like to extend this to anybody who serves Hashem in any way possible. You shouldn't stumble. When you serve Hashem, when you bring korbanos, which is the ultimate expression of serving Hashem, when you serve Hashem, you shouldn't mess up with the two mess-ups, the mess-up of Kayin and the mess-up of Hevel. Shehoyu rishonim ba'akrovas korban. They were the first to ever be makrov a korban. Ki Kayin nichshal b'mashehevi menat pachos v'hagarua v'hu zera pishton v'hachatar menavshos v'tzrichim lahavi nefesh ha'behema Temuras nafsham uvedocha kiter Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'ani lahavi mincha she'en ba nefesh umal alav kilu hikriv nafsho k'mo shepirish Rashi al pasuk v'nefesh kisakriv mincha. So number one, what was the mistake of Kayin? The mistake of Kayin is that in the service of Hashem he didn't bring his best stuff. He didn't bring his best stuff. The mistake of Kayin was that in his living room is the fanciest couch, and is the rug that's imported from India, and he only will drive the fanciest car. When it comes to the lulav and esrog, he says to the guy, could you give me the stuff that's, you know, I want the stuff that's in the back. I want the stuff that's, you know, give me the cheapest stuff you have when it comes to the lulav and esrog. I want the cheapest one you have. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he brings the cheapest stuff. That was Kayin's mistake. Look what he says. Look what he says. Ki Kayin nichshal b'ma shehevi min ha-pachos of agarua. When it comes to buying tefillin, there's three kinds of tefillin. There's three prices. I want the cheapest tefillin you have in the store. The cheapest tefillin. I don't want to do the mitzvah of the hiddur. I don't want to bring my best stuff. That was Kayin's big mistake. He brought min ha-pachos v'agarua. V'uzer pishon. V'achatoim ben avshosam. I'm still on the fifth line. Tzrichin lahavi nefesh ha-behema temuras nafsham. They have to bring... When you sin, you have to bring a behema. You have to bring a very expensive animal. Uvedochak hitra kadosh baruch hu la'ani. If you're an ani, he says, okay, you can bring a mincha. She'ein ba nefesh. Umala olav kilu hikriv nafsho. Why do you got to bring an animal? Because you really got to bring your own life. You got to bring all your koichas, as we're going to speak. When it comes to serving kadosh baruch hu, when it comes to learning Torah, you got to be willing to wake up early in the morning. When it comes to davening b'minyan, you got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to put all your koichas in, even if it's difficult. Kamo shepirish Rashi al pasuk v'nefesh ki sakriv mincha. The hevel, and what was hevel's mistake? Afal pi shehevi mibechoros tzona. He didn't have that problem. He brought the best stuff. He brought bechoros tzona. He brought the animal, but he had a different problem. He was a follower. He was a follower. What does the Torah say? The hevel hevi gamhu. The hevel hevi gamhu. Av b'shevim b'choras tonim mikomakom lo tov asa shaloinus oirer el akorban me'atzmo. Zok the Kli Yakar. Hevel was not motivated to serve God from his own internal feelings and thoughts. V'loinus dareis l'mitzvah zu me'atzmo. He was not awakened and motivated and to serve Hashem from himself. Rak acher shero shikr of Kayin Korban oz niskanebo. He saw his brother doing it and he got jealous. The hevel hevi gamu. Right, that's the Torah says. The hevel hevi gamu. Lahashvel satzmo elov. Why did he bring it? Not because he was interested in serving Hashem, because he was interested in keeping up with his brother. That his brother shouldn't get more merit than him. He wasn't serving God, he was serving his brother. Kimavur lamala b'parshas Bereishis. I think we may have even pointed that out when we learned Bereishis this year. the Kliyakar said it himself on the words Gamu, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I just remember that now, but we may have discussed that, it's in my vague subconscious. Al-Kain Omar, therefore the Torah says over here, Adam ki yakriv mikem lashin yachid loma l'cha she'amakriv yiek Adam arishin v'karbano, because Adam arishin was also makriv v'karban, and everyone who brings a karban should have that dimension of Adam arishin. She'haya yachidi ba'olam, Adam arishin was alone in the world. Ukishem shemizeh hatzad haya nitzol min hagezel shahaya yechidi v'haya akol shelo. And just like Chazal already have pointed out, the Kliyaka says, I'm basing myself on Chazal, Rabbi Sai, listen to this, it's fantastic. I'm telling you, when you hear what he's about to say here, you're not going to stop talking about it all Shabbos. That I guarantee you. I was so blown away by this, I even tweeted it. So if you follow me on Twitter, then you already know this. Okay. Ukishem shemizat sar haya nitzel min hagezel shahaya yechidi v'haya kol shelo. Chazal already said that Adam Arishon was saved from Gezel because everything belonged to him, nothing belonged, he was the only man alive, there was nobody else, he couldn't possibly be stealing from anybody. Kach, because Chazal make a drasha on this, that Adam kiyakim biken lahotzi es hagezel, Rashi says. Kach mizeh hatzad hoya nitzol min adavar shenichshol bo hevel. Adam Arishon also can never be accused of following anybody in his service of Hashem. He can never be accused of only submitting to peer pressure. There weren't anyone else to follow. There was no one else in the world. Ki mitzad shehoya yichidi ba'olam v'adayin nisorer el hakarban me'atzmo, since he was the only person around, certainly his service of Hashem was self-motivated. V'lo mitzad shera acherim osin, it wasn't just because he saw other people doing it to keep up with the Joneses. He does it like that, I'm going to do it like that. Valze Omar, Adam kishayiye ka Adam arishon ki yakriv mikem shetia akrav mikem, from you v'lo mizulaschem ki mikem uvachem yavo ha'isaros l'makriv zeu karban l'Hashem. What's a karban l'Hashem? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from each of us? He wants that the service should be from us individually, not to be a follower like Hevel followed Kayin. But Adam, like Adam Arishon, ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. Now listen to his next point, Rabbi Say. I don't know why I never remember this medrash, but listen to this Gemara in Shabbos. Gonna knock your socks off, I think. Ki vadai ein kavanoso kiyam l'Hashem Hashem. Because someone who's doing it for that, Adam Arishon, why was Adam makriv a karban? Was he a follower? It couldn't be. He wasn't following anybody. So vadai, Adam Arishon's intention was karban l'Hashem, was only purely to be karban l'Hashem. Lafuke misha eno nesora me'atzmo. Ze eno mikem ve'eno karban l'Hashem. Eno mikem, sharei nesoras balo me'achem. Lo mikem, mimak karban atzmo. Ve'eno karban l'Hashem. Kol mashu kinas ish mereyehu. If you're just doing it to keep up with somebody else, eno osa kiyim lehis hader atzmo b'fnei abrios. He's just trying to look cool in front of the other people. V'nim tzeshe eno karban l'Hashem kiyim l'shem abrios. Now listen, so that's number one. Again, of course, there is this idea of kinaso from Tarva Chachma. There is some idea sometimes that when it comes to learning, it's not a bad idea to be motivated and ruchni inspire other people. There is such an idea like that, but that can't be the whole point of your motivation. Say again?
They used to show up with their crown and their well-dressed and stomp their way through the Beit HaMikdash to give their korbanot to show the people.
Oh, to show the other people. Right, so it's not supposed to be that way. Good, good, good. Now listen to this Gemara in Shabbos for both sides. Raise your hand if you've heard of this Gemara before. I guess if you learned Daf Yomi, you might, but the question is, do you remember it? Okay. V'zeh she'amru, Shabbos chav chesem and beis. Shor she'hikriv adam rishon karen achas hayalo b'mitzcho. That the karban that adam rishon was makriv was a unicorn. Adam Arishon, the carbon that he was makriv, was a unicorn. Kach katuv b'gmara Shabbat. Carbon shorshin gotzim karen achas, hayelo mitzko. says the Kli Yakar, what is meant by that Gemara, that Adam Arishon was makriv, the carbon that Adam Arishon was makriv was a unicorn. What's the Hezber Adavar? So it says the same word. L'kach nezdamin lo shor ba'al keren achas. Ki haya dome el ha'adam shehaya keren echad. Ratzaloma shehaya yichidi ba'olam. The one horn on the animal's forehead symbolized the service of Hashem that Adam HaRishon brought into this world. And that is, I have one horn on my forehead facing upward, meaning I only serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. I only bring my carbon. My carbon that I'm bringing has one horn and it's facing upwards. I'm trumpeting my own service to Hashem, meaning I have one horn. The unicorn symbolizes, says the Kli Yakar, that there was no two paths for Adam HaRishon. There was only one path facing upward. Why did he serve Hashem? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it, because he's developing a relationship with him. Shor Shikam Adam HaRishon Keren Achas Hayelo B'mitzchah L'kach Nizdamin Lo Shor Ba'al Keren Achas Ki Hayo Doime La'odam Shaya Keren Achad Ratzalomar Shaya Yechidi Ba'olam V'lo Gezel Mishum Adam. Number one, to show that this was not belong to anybody else. Volonis Omer Mishum Adam. And Adam HaRishon did not receive his motivation from anybody else. Ki imei atzmo. He was self-motivated. Dahainu mikem. Al kein Allah karbano l'ratzon. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved his karban, nimsa. She karban l'Hashem hifzik inyan. V'achar kach amar. Min ha-behema, lahotzi zera, pishton, elayasa, kehevel, shehevim, bibuchoros, tzon, umash amat ha-kidu korbanchem, haynu michel beyen, ha-chelak ha-muvchor, she-odam bochel la-atzma, nikor korbanchem, os otakiv l-gavo. Menachat korbanchem, loshon rabim, kibirishra, shalomer, she-shnayim ha-krivim behema, v'yesh omrim, and just to add on to this a little bit more, in a similar vein, v'yesh omrim, odam ki-akrav mikem, migufo mamish. Ayudit somos veruach nishbara zehu karban lashem. When you give up something, adam kiyakriv mikem. When a person in his service of Hashem is willing to give up for the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's willing to give up his sleep and his time and his effort and his energy. He wants to give up for Hashem. Zehu karban lashem v'chelak gavoa levad. And that is a pure sacrifice to Hashem. Omnam. Masha atem makrivim min abehema min abakar zeu korbanchem. That's not pure service. Ki atem ha'ochle mizivche shamechem akonim v'abayim. L'kachnok et korbanchem l'shem rabim ki einu chelak elokal levad. What does he say at the end, right? Guy comes back from shul Friday night to his house. He could smell the chicken soup on the fire. He could smell the delicious food, the kugel. He says, ah, it's great to be Jewish, you know? Come home Friday night, relaxed. It's great to be a yid. It's fantastic to be a yid. It's a geschmack. So he says, that's karban chem. That's karban chem. Min abehema, min abakar, min atzon, takrivus karban chem. That's serving Hashem, but that's not the level of service of when a person has to fast for the Ribbono Shel Olam, when a person has to give up something for Hashem, when a person has to give up something that means something to him for the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Like his sleep. Or you have to work hard at something. You have to wake up early in the morning to learn, or you wake up early in the morning to daven, or you give up of your free time, or you have to hold back, right? You see everybody else doing X, Y, and Z, and you say, I know that that's not appropriate. This one's having the pleasure in this way. This one's going out to see this show or this movie or this thing, and you think that that's not appropriate. That stuff is not, that's not going to bring me closer to the bonus. You give up something. You say, I'm going to live my life at a higher plane. That's Adam Kiyakrav Mikem. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to sacrifice. That's Karban Lashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees. That's a pure Karban. When you benefit out of your Yiddish guy, when you have the parts, say you're dancing by a chasana, or you're eating from the smorgasbord, or you're benefiting from all the other beauty. So that's also serving Hashem. But that's Karban Chem. So by a Karban, you get to eat part of it. So you fill your stomach also. You get to by the Min HaBehema, Min HaBakar, so that's Karban Chem. Takrivus Karban Chem. It's also service, but you get a piece of it. It's not the same level of dedicated service of Hashem. Adam kiyakrav mikem. What you give of yourself, when you give up something, that's Korban Lashem, that's a pure sacrifice that's Lashem as opposed to Korban Chem. The last point, not going to really have so much time to develop. The last point he says, Im Ola Korbanam and Abakar Zohar Tamim Yakivenu. He says, we'll just do it very quickly. Last point. Im Ola Korbanam and Abakar Zohar Tamim Yakivenu Tam Ladover Sheha Ola Ba Zohar Vachatas Nikeva. Why is it that a Korban Ola is a male and the Chatas is a female? Daf. Ushlamim Bein Zachar, Bein Nekeva. He says, Lafi Sheha Ola al Ruchachem Hiba, Dahin Lachet Hahirhur, Kemoshen Emar, Veheela Olos Mispar Kulam Ki Omar, Ulai Chotu Banai Ubarcho Eselokim Bil Vavam. It says in Eov that Eov brought Karbanos Ola because he thought maybe his children sinned in their hearts. The Ola comes to be Makkah, that's why the Ola is totally burnt. The smoke goes up, it's all smoke. It's all fire and smoke. There's no physical part of it. It's all fire and smoke. You don't get any piece of it. There's no physical part of the Korban Ola. Nobody eats any part of it. It's ketula, burnt. Because Korban Ola Rabosai is mechaper on the sins of the heart, on the sins of the mind, on the hirhurim. You know the Gemara says, hirhure avera kashim me avera. The sins of the mind, in a certain sense, are even more afflicting to a person. They're more overtaking of a person. They're more deep and they're more overpowering for a person than even acts of sin. Because an act already has come into this world. It's a physical thing. You could stop it. But the hirhurim are impossible to stop. So that's why it's a zachar. He doesn't say this, but the zacharim have a lot more problem with hirhurim than the nekevas. But whatever, we'll leave that aside as it might be. But he says a little bit of a different idea. He says, V'achatas bo'al cheta maise nimtze sha'amaharher ba'avera v'lo yotze machshavte l'po v'ada gibor ba'aretz yiyeh ki ke'ish gvura so lichbosh. I don't have time to develop this, but basically what he says is that someone who sins in the mind with thoughts, bad thoughts, or he thinks he wants to sin, so he has to be a strong person to be kovish to not allow it to come to the maise, like a zachar. He has to be strong like a zachar to try to not let it come out. V'lechot gam b'maise, toshash kochol kenikeva. The female persona viewed as, you know, the weaker one. So the one who let it out to the maise, so toshash kochol kenikeva. Ki lohaya yochol amud keneged yitzro. He couldn't hold back his yetzahara, and the thoughts didn't just remain as thoughts, but they actually came out into the world. Akein karbanu nekeva, nechayotzebo. And he develops it more, that the bad thoughts, v'od she'ol ba'al chet ahirur, hanisla b'koach ha-seichel shabadam, hanim shel zachar, ki ha-seicher ikal ha-bayis u'gevir al-kin karbon ha-zachar, v'ola kulo l'gavoa, k'nin ruach b'nei adam. So that's what he says. He says that the karbon ola is mechaper on the bad thoughts, and the chatos is mechaper on the actions. So, right, thoughts are very, very difficult to prevent, the bad thoughts. So we have to not only work this Shabbos at trying to realize that when a person works for, puts his kochos into the klal, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives more kochos than he put in, and will give you sometimes things that you can't believe that you ever were able to be zeichah to do. And when you work for Jewish organizations, it looks like all is lost. It looks like the hope is never going to get better. All of a sudden, the Kadosh Baruch Hu figures out a way to fix the whole thing. That's when a person is mustered to the cloud. It becomes vayiker. Kadosh Baruch Hu just mikre. He shows up. He shows up even in the area that you weren't prepared for, even in the area that you didn't think you deserved. And the other message in vayiker is, like we said, that how the pure yavo tahorim yisgasku b'tahorim, that when it comes to chinuch of children, has to be altaras hakodesh, has to be pure. We can't let the tumah in, because whatever it gets in the beginning. So the aleph is small to show that you're supposed to teach the kids starting from Vayikra, because that's the yavo tahorim yisasku b'tahorim, that that this Aleph is small because Aleph means to teach, and the Aleph is small because Aleph Beis, the beginning of the teaching, is supposed to be pure, Altaras HaKodesh. And the other lesson is, of course, the humility that's important there. So aside from that, we also learned about how when you serve Hashem, you got to be careful about the problem of Kain and the problem of Hevel. The problem of Kain is you don't bring your best stuff. The problem of Hevel is that you're a follower. You only Gamu, Hevel Hevi Gamu. So you have to make sure that we're not following. So on top of all these messages, we have to realize that to try to purify the Machshavos, the Karban Ola comes not only to purify the Maizim, but to purify the Machshavos. And the merit of our trying to think of these themes and try to improve our own Avodas Hashem, when we listen to the Kriyas HaTorah and when we experience the Shabbos Vayikra, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back that time that we don't have to just read Parshas Vayikra, Tzav, Shemini, all the Pesukim about the Karbanos. We shouldn't just have to read about them. We should be able to live them. We should be able to do them. And we shouldn't be so concerned about having to slaughter a big fat animal when we do Averis. We have to bring these big animals. We should be makir of our own guf and neshama HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We should be able to be makir of Karbanos, each of us, together in Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Mashiach. Meher v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.